in the town of Calhoun, South Carolina. The interview is taking place on August 15, 1988 in Clemson, South Carolina, at the home of the interviewee. And the interviewer is W.J. Meginson. Could I ask your name, sir?
William Vernon Kelly.
And may I ask your age?
75, hoping to make 76.
Well, I hope so too. So that means you were born when about?
September 8, 1912.
Where are you from?
Well, I was raised here. I was born, actually, they said, at Westminster, which is 18 miles west of here.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, my father and mother were living here at the time I was born, but my mother went to her mother's house where I was born last, so her mother could help her.
So you were born at home, or at your grandmother's home?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they got the doctor, and I was born there.
And what has your occupation?
And then soon as I was a few days of age, I came, they moved back, I came back here to Calhoun. Lived right across the street from your grandmother.
Which corner did you live on?
You know where the Bennett's house is?
Yes.
It was right there, an old house that was there then, before the Bennett built their house there.
So that's on the northeast intersection of Calhoun and Clemson Streets.
That's right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And how long did you live there?
5 years, when I was between 5 and 6 years old. My father built a house over here in what they call Clemson.
Mm-hmm. And where was his house?
On Hillcrest Avenue. 101 Hillcrest Avenue.
Is that house still there?
Yeah, my son lives in it.
Mm-hmm. So your father was the first one to build on that lot?
Yeah, that's right. Those lots had just been opened up in 1918.
Do you know who he bought the lot from?
The Fort Hill Land Company. And that was a group of college professors that pooled their money and bought the land from the estate of Aaron Boggs, cut it up into streets and lots, and started selling in 1917, 1918.
Do you reckon they made a lot of money off of that?
No, they didn't have it to make much money, I don't guess, but to have a place for some of the professors to build homes.
Do you have any idea who the people were who owned the Fort Hill Land Company?
Yeah, uh-huh, some of them.
Well?
Mr. Ben F. Robertson, I think, was the president of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Little Joe Hunter was the Secretary of Treasury. They're the only two officers I know of, because their names are on my father's deed.
Which I suppose your son has.
I believe it's still in my lockbox.
Mm-hmm. If we may, it might be interesting to get a photocopy of that someday.
Yeah, well, if you want it, it's still available, yeah.
What has your occupation been most of your life?
Most of the life was a merchant.
At?
At Clemson. College what? Avenue, Judge Keller's store, College Avenue, Clemson.
Judge Keller's store sounds like an old family operation.
Yes, it is. My father started it in 1899.
College was just a few years in existence.
That's
then.
That's right. He came to Clemson and went 2 years in the first class and dropped out and started work.
Why did he drop out?
He had roomed in the barracks close to the where the tailor sent down from the uniform company to do the alteration on the uniform. Had his shop, and my father loafed in there with him, and the old tailor soon put him to work helping him in his spare time. And by the end of the second year, the old tailor told him that he thought he could do that work, and how about him taking the job next year so he wouldn't have to come back down here from Philadelphia. So my father dropped out and took job?
I have read a request for discharge from the college by another student whose name you would recognize, who wrote on it, very frankly, he figured he could make more money dropping out of school and working than he could by staying in school.
Yeah.
And probably did.
Yeah.
Where did your father come from?
From Abbeville.
And was he in the first class?
Yeah, he went 2 years in the first class, but he dropped out. He didn't finish in the first class. He was in the first class.
Had anybody in his family been to college before?
A cousin of his had finished medical college.
What was your grandfather's occupation?
Farmer.
I suspect Clemson was a real bonanza for families and farming families who had not previously had a chance at education.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what they established the college for. It was established for the poor farm boys in South Carolina.
Do you know what your father was studying?
No, I don't ever remember hearing him say.
Well, you also were talking about the tailoring. What was so important about having a tailor available at those days?
This was a military college, and they wore a West Point style uniform. And so many of the boys were young farm boys, been working hard on their farm, and when they came up here, they were the age to still grow, and the uniform company would measure them in September, and then make their coats and make the uniform and send them down about 2 months later. By that time, a lot of them had gained 5 or 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them had to be altered. And then the military was particular about them fitting good too. So I think they see the college bought the uniforms from that uniform company, and that part of their contract, I imagine, was that they would guarantee a fit, you know.
So Philadelphia Company had the franchise.
Yes, I think it was called Jacob Reed Company.
Located on Chestnut Street there.
Still
they had ads in the old yearbooks.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But there was then somebody local who did the precise tailoring for the uniforms after the uniforms got here and the fellows had put on weight. The revisions and modeling the uniform so they would fit.
Well, at first, I think that was part, and there wasn't anybody else here to do it. See, this when the college was first started, for a number of years, there wasn't anything here but the college. No stores to mount anything, no businesses. There wasn't any tailor closer than Greenville.
Do you know if the fellows had to pay for their uniforms?
Oh, yes, they had to pay for the uniforms.
And do you have any idea how much they cost?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I've even forgotten what it cost when I went to Clemson in 29.
Probably a lot cheaper back when your father was there.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
So your father started tailoring just because he was working in the barracks and learning how to do it.
That's right. Well, in the way he told it, the tailor paid him that second year, and the tailor paid him something. And he evidently got the money from the uniform company because he paid him $100. And there was no bank here, closer than Pendleton, which is too far to walk, and my father took the $100 in to the president of the college and asked him would he keep it for him until he went home to end school. And he said, yeah, he'd be glad to put it in there safe and keep it. And he called my father back in about a week or so later and told him that he was saving his money for him, but he wasn't earning interest, and money is supposed to earn interest. And he said one of his professors came to him and asked him to help him borrow $100. And he said, how about me loaning him your $100 and he'll pay the interest on it. So then when the old tailor, of course my father told him that, well, that was all right with him. He was president of the college. He knew more than he did. So if he thought that was all right, that was okay with him. Then when the old old Taylor Hawkins in the job, he, his father said, he figured, well, now look, if the professor that's smarter than me already graduated from college has to borrow money from me, maybe that's a pretty good job. Maybe I better take it while I can get it. So that was why.
Well,
why the professor needing to borrow money helped decide him to take the job.
Did your father get his money back?
Oh, I'm sure he did, yeah.
When your father first started doing the tailoring, was he doing this in the barracks?
Yeah, the college gave him two rooms there. They had already given, they gave two rooms to the tailor, one to live in, one to work in, and they did the father the same way. But then, a few years later, see, this would have been along about 1894, 5, or 6, along about that time. And then later the college authorities told him, said, we're getting more students, we need your two rooms there. How about you building you a little building close to the college to do that alteration? And so my father then told Mr. Boggs, that owned all the land around here, the college wanted him to build a little building there, and how about selling him a lot to build it on? He said, yeah, he'd sell him a lot. Told him to just go down that road and pick out where you want to build it and go ahead and build your building, and I'll give you a deed for it when I go to Pickens next fall to pay the taxes. So my father said he built the building that summer, so it'd be ready when college opened in September. Then in November, when old man Barnes went to pay his taxes, he brought him back a deed, and the deed called for the dimensions of the building. No bigger, my father said he thought sure it'd be an acre of land. He didn't think he could sell less than an acre, but it just called for just the dimension of the building. Evidently Mr. Boggs went by and measured the building and went on up to Pickens and told whoever was drawing the deed for him, make deed that size. And the fella did. And I got a copy of the deed, and it says that, it tells the dimensions, and that were just the dimensions of the building. And it says on there that it's bounded by lands of A.J. Boggs on the north, east, south, and west.
Smack dab in the middle.
My father said as soon as he stepped out of the building, he was walking on Mr. Boggs' land.
What
so
year
he
was
sold that as soon as he could.
What year was that?
1899.
And was there a street running by there then?
It was a road. I guess it was the road that Mr. Boggs used to go down toward the river to his some of his farmland.
And do you have any idea who built the store? Is it the same building that you now have?
No. The building's torn down.
The same place?
Across the street.
So you were on the opposite side
of
what is now College Street?
No, it was on the other side of North Clemson Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And
the same side of College Street as you are now?
Yeah, there is a building there now.
Was that a brick store?
No, that was wood. Mm-hmm. That was a wooden store.
And about how long did your father have that store?
1918,
mm-hmm.
when Mr. Boggs, I think they said, died in 1916, and he, I think they said he left all the land he still owned on this side of the railroad track to his sons, all he still owned on the other side of the railroad track to his daughter, and his sons sold what they had on this side, and that's when those professors bought that part where the store is, was part of that Fort Hill land company.
So, your first deed for the store was from Aaron Boggs.
Aaron Boggs.
And the second deed from the Fort Hill Land Company.
Fort Hill Land Company.
Just like your father's house.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When your father set up his own store,
yeah,
obviously he wasn't selling uniforms because they came from the company.
That's
what types of things did he have?
Well, he didn't sell anything to start with, but pretty soon he started making pants and selling those pants. He'd buy some of the cloth from the uniform company, mm-hmm. and some of the cadet officers would get him to make them a specially fit pair of pants during the summer for their senior year, so they'd have a pair of pants that fit them just like they wanted it, you know. Mm-hmm. So the first thing he sold, I guess, was pants that he made. And then he did the, he cleaned, pressed and cleaned the pants, mm-hmm. Too. Then he gradually put in things to sell. But he put in small items to sell.
What types of things could we buy if we went into your store tomorrow?
Pants and shirts and book bags and sweatshirts and t-shirts with Clemson on them and umbrellas and small bolts and screws and electrical extension cords and electric plugs, things that the students buy.
It sounds like a lot of the stock has stayed the same over 50, 60, or 70 years.
Oh, yeah. It's changed some as what the students wanted to buy. We soon found out, I'm sure my father found out, and I found out when I ran the store, that if we bought something the students didn't want, we'd just have to keep it. They wouldn't buy it. So we don't buy any more of that.
So you're pretty good at figuring out what the students want and keeping that,
Yeah, that's right.
When your father first set up his shop and was tailoring, pressing, and cleaning, what other stores were there in town? Do you have any idea?
Drugstore across the street.
Run by
L.C. Martin Drugstore.
Now, which street are you talking about? College?
College Avenue, The building is still there.
What's in it now?
In it now is Tiger Town Tavern. Mm-hmm. That was L.C. Martin Drug Company, run first by Mr. L.C. Martin from Easley. And Dr. P.S. McCollum bought it out. And he ran it for many, many years. And then there was grocery store, I believe, across the street there on College Avenue.
Who was that run by?
Well, at first it was a man with heard my father talk about it. What was it? I can't remember that. I didn't know him. He was gone. It was, when I was a kid, it was the community store, a grocery store put up by some of the professors, chipped in and financed it and got somebody to run it. Then up on the corner, next to the college, was Sloan's store. They had a grocery store and a dry goods store there.
So it didn't start off so much as clothing is almost a lot of other things instead.
Well, you see, it was military college, so the students didn't wear any civilian clothing, not anything. And then there was a store that a man named John Martin ran. It was on College Avenue, and he had a grocery store, part of it, and a dry goods part.
So it sounds like it was pretty much the same in stock as Sloan's store.
Yeah, they were very similar.
Were they right next door?
Across the street.
So was Sloan's store where it still is now?
It's the Sloan's store building is still there. It's the Sloan's sold the building and split up into several things now.
Is that the original Sloan building, or did they
had a wooden building there, and it burned. And and they built a brick building.
Do you have any idea when that might have happened?
In the 20s.
It sounds like everything back then was a wooden building.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there wasn't any so far. Now that drugstore, L.C. Martin drugstore was a brick store. I believe I was on the brick store over here when I was a real little kid. Now over in the real Calhoun part, there were two brick stores over there. The one that's there now called Calhoun Corner, which was Boggs' store, and before that some other name, but that was a brick. And then your grandfather had a brick store up that street closer to their big house.
It seems kind of unusual that the brick stores were over in a small town and wooden stores were adjacent to the college.
Well, you see, I think those two brick stores over there were built by Mr. Cocker, I think. And he had a brickyard. He made brick over there. And see, that was the real town over there. It was started really before the college was. And if you've noticed, the streets over there are laid out perpendicular and square.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, the cows laid them out. But that was laid out by the railroad. See, Calhoun was started as a railroad town. And it was laid out properly. This part over here wasn't laid out at all.
Well, you also had the problem over here that streets had to follow the contours of where the old plantation land was and couldn't cross over into that.
That's right.
Well, let's go back to when your father started. All that he had when he initially started, you said, was a deed for only the dimensions of the store.
Mm-hmm.
How did he manage to both get the land and pay for the building? Some of that obviously came from his $100.
Well, you see, he'd been working for that uniform company paid him to do the alteration on the uniform. And see, he'd been working since about 1894. And he saved his money, and he might have had some money. I think he made all his money. I don't think he got any from his family. It didn't cost so much. I think old man Mr. Boggs sold him the lot cheap. He just shot him $25 for that lot. But that wasn't what my father wanted. He wanted a whole acre, but I don't suspect it was a small building he built. So I don't imagine that cost too much. I don't know.
Land itself wasn't too cheap because there were people buying an acre over around Calhoun for $25. So, but places like that that were strategically located were charging a lot more.
Yeah, this wasn't strategically located at the time my father bought that in 1899.
In essence, in fact, your father started the mercantile section of Clemson since he was the first one there.
Well, now.
Or was he?
I don't know. Sloan's store might have been there before, and John Martin might have. I don't know.
But those three then would have been the first.
Yeah.
And Mr. Martin, I guess, his business did not continue, so
no.
Sloan's and Keller's have been the two main names, along with the Martin drugstore.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sloan's store was a going store. When they built their new building, they built a fine building, and it had in there a drugstore run by Joe Sloan, and the men's clothing store run by Hoke Sloan. And the grocery store run by Jack and Mr. Sloan, Mr. Winslow Sloan. They had a nice building there, and they had big business.
So several enterprises all by the same family, but separate people in the same building.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But you've given us some idea of what the businesses were when you were a small boy, as far back as you remember. What did College Avenue look like?
Dirt road and
a sidewalk of any kind?
Dirt sidewalk, yeah. On the southeast side, why, it was kind of a hill up where Mr. John Martin's store was, up above the street about 10 to 20 feet. And it was pretty level over there on our side. It was a livery stable between Sloan's store and our store.
And who had that?
Mr. Clankscale had a livery stable. He had a farm out 2 or 3 miles, and he kept mules that he used on his farm, and he also used those mules and wagons to haul things, especially trunks for the college students. They would come send their trunks in by train over to Calhoun Depot, and then he would haul them over to the college, first with wagon and mules, and later with truck.
If you had all those horses and mules walking up and down a dirt road, I suppose that added a whole nother character to the road as well.
That's right. Oh yes, there was, when I was a little kid, there was a blacksmith shop between Mr. Clinkscale's livery stable and our store. He shoed the mules and for Mr. Clinkscale, and anybody else brought their horses and mules in, he put shoes on them.
And when you were out in the street, I guess you had to look very carefully
where
you
stepped. Uh-huh, yeah.
Who was the blacksmith?
Blacksmith. That was Mr. Finley.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old family name here at Clemson. There's still some Finleys live here. There's a street named Finley.
How big was the livery stables? Was it a huge place?
Well, it was a pretty good size building. Yeah, it was. It was bigger than our store. It was bigger than Sloan's store, I guess, in dimensions.
For a while, the firm was known as Clinkscales and Crowther.
That's right.
Who was Crowther?
He was Mr. Clinkscale's brother-in-law. Yeah, they were related.
You said earlier that your father had come from Abbeville.
Yeah.
And I understand that Mr. Clinkscales had come from Abbeville too.
That's right. Yeah,
were
they
friends from back then?
Oh yeah, they were friends to start with.
About the same age?
Yeah, about the same age.
Well, your father was here first. Do you reckon he had anything to do with encouraging?
I don't know whether he was here before Mr. Clinkscales or not. Mr. Clinkscales was here pretty early.
Yeah.
I don't know when he came in.
He was still in Abbeville in the 1900 census.
Is that so?
So he must have moved up just a little bit later.
Yeah, well, that could have been. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what else did Main Street look like? Did it run straight like it does now over to Calhoun?
No, it not quite. They straightened it a number of years ago. It used to go just like it is now down to our store.
From the college to your store.
From the college to the store. Then right there, it went down, it went the same way till they get to the Baptist church.
Mm-hmm.
Then it veered to the left and went in front of the Presbyterian church.
Mm-hmm.
Went a little bit to the left and down and crossed the creek. In fact, it crossed two little creeks, and then kind of up the hill a little bit to the depot. So later they just straightened it there. But when I was a kid going to school over there, we went that old road, and it was a very picturesque road.
From your description and from maps I've seen, it apparently was a very zigzag winding road
as
well.
That's right. Yes, it was. That's why they straightened.
You're talking about the cows laying it out. That's about the way that looked.
Yeah, well, yes. That's what. Actually, I think they went according to the contour of the road, and it could have been that there had been a nice farm there, and it could have been that they ran it that way to leave the good farm alone. I'm just guessing, because there used to be a real nice looking house there.
Whose house and whose farm had that been?
Well, somebody named Crawford.
And who lived in the house when you came along?
I think Mr. Masters lived there.
And where was that? Was it anywhere near, say, where the movie theater is today?
Yeah, it was across the street from the movie theater. If you notice, across from the movie theater is some old, big old trees, rather nice looking trees. It was right along in that.
No, we're talking about the current movie theater.
Yeah.
So that would have been on the
south
east side
of College Avenue. And the road, the street there was then known as Calhoun Road.
And that would have been a little bit south of what is now Strode Circle.
That's right. That's right.
What kind of house was it, or what did it look like?
It was a wooden house, a white wooden house. I remember seeing it at a distance, and it was on a little, not a hill, but a little elevation. And it was nice looking house with nice trees around it. No.
One or two stories.
Oh, I think it's just one story.
Painted?
Yes, it's painted white. Yeah.
Apparently that was the old house for the Cold Springs plantation, which had belonged to one of the Calhoun families.
Yes, that's so.
And a section was later called the Cold Spring Addition, right in the area where you...